Bunker. This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, and on the other end of the inner tubes, we have the Shiny Badger, Mr. Davi Barker. Hello, are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I have not been contacted by the government. I am safe. I'm healthy. I'm raring to go.
All right. And, we have a lot of topics. You and I actually did some show notes today. Usually we don't, because we can do a great show without any show notes. But we have enough show notes here for at least tonight and two nights from now when you're on again, and probably the next six shows. And we also have a fallback of, if I ever am just one of those nights where I'm like, I got nothing, I'm going to just say, tell me about zombies, and you're going to tell me all about zombies, because I don't know much about them, and you know everything about them. So
we have so many show notes tonight that they need to be forcefully taken from us and redistributed to other shows.
I think so. or you know, if we really thought we were that important, we could publish them into a book.
Yeah, right. Just one big book of hyperlinks.
Have you ever seen that book? You ever seen that book of Kurt Cobain's diaries?
Yeah, I think it's fake.
Well, it's put out by his estate. If it's fake, they faked it.
Okay. I just, you know, like looking through it and having been a songwriter myself, it did not look like the scribblings of a person who wrote a song.
Yeah, but maybe he wrote songs differently than you did. But it was kind of like, it was, you know how people who have delusions of grandeur when they're younger, like I used to, I don't anymore. I know my small but important place in the world. When I was younger, I used to think like someday all of my notes will be sold to a museum and held in perpetuity. Like this was before the internet. And, actually I had and it was, you know, it was the idea of like saving stuff like that they would save for some great man like Picasso or somebody, you know, there are collections in universities of great men's works and letters and writings. And a lot of times it's like, it's as mundane as like, you know, it's like drafts for novels that were never completed. It's notes for, you know, exchanges with their editor. But it's also literally like shopping lists. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Like a lot of Jefferson's records are like, I planted potatoes in the summer of whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually had the occasion to go through some stuff like that for Hubert Selby Jr. When I was putting together the Selby movie. First of all, like literally his widow handed me a box of stuff, said, scan this, do whatever you want with it, bring it back to me. And I did. And then also, he donated, it's a thing that writers do sometimes is if they're well known enough, they are sometimes asked to donate their works to some library or university library. And literally they could just like take their junk and give it to a library and write it off on their taxes. And his stuff wasn't just junk, too. It was very interesting. Like, some of it was him arguing with his editors, and you're ruining my blah, blah, you know, like, them trying to make him write like a normal novelist or something when he was breaking ground. You know, it'd be kind of like those people who told Jimi Hendrix, like, well, we like you, kid, but we don't like this distortion we're hearing in your songs. You have to do something. It's feeding back. We don't like that. yeah. So Kurt Cobain's diaries were kind of like that. I mean, there were some drafts of some great songs we all know and love. And there were literally like notes, like what I have to do to get my life together. Like, you know, work out, start looking, like start doing pushups was one of them.
I didn't read the whole diary. I like flipped through it, but I decided again.
Yeah.
Felt like violation of privacy.
I know. I'm just kind of making a joke of like, haha, we're so important. We could take our unused show notes and sell them to lesser shows. Yeah, it wouldn't happen. So two topics we could start with here. One is the Lost Libpear City, the Disney. Well, I don't know if it's Libpear, but they called it Disneyland with the death penalty. Or we could talk about ISIS, the ISIS flag challenge, which also could probably come with a few different death penalties. Which do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the ISIS flag challenge.
Okay, is this...
I'll take door number B.
This has nothing to do with the ice bucket challenge, right? It wasn't inspired by that, or was it?
I have no idea. Maybe it was.
Okay, so tell me about
it. The ISIS bucket challenge?
Yeah, tell me about the ISIS bucket challenge.
I don't really know that much about it. I guess it's that there are Muslims around the world who have taken it upon themselves to make videos of themselves burning the ISIS flag in a show of kind of condemnation of the organization, which is kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of gutsy, too, because they could probably get killed by ISIS for that. And also in some of the countries where they're doing it, They could be jailed by the country because of laws against burning any kind of Muslim or Islamic iconography.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? So the ISIS flag is it's the Shahada, which is the testimony of faith in Islam, right? So it's like the cross in Christianity, essentially. And there are these countries that have these like anti-blasphemy laws where you're like not allowed to desecrate things that are like that. But the funny thing about that is if you look in any book of Islamic law, burning these icons is the appropriate way of disposing of them.
Well, it's the same with the U.S. flag. I mean, the U.S. flag code, people who love the flag and say, I love the flag, don't burn my, don't tread on my flag. Those people often don't know the common rules and sometimes laws for dealing with a flag. First of all, it's not true that if a flag touches the ground, you have to destroy it. But it is true that if an American flag is soiled to the point where you can see the soiling and you can't wash it or dry clean it, you're supposed to destroy it with honor, with fire. Now, another thing, okay, the one I see broken all over my town is you're not – it's supposed to be disrespect. It is said to be disrespectful to the U.S. flag to display it at night without proper lighting pointing at it. And everybody in Wyoming practically has a flag on their house, and it's usually wrapped into a little burrito because there's so much wind. Like it's just, you know, like it looks like a rolled cigarette. It's red, white, and blue, red and white. But many, many, many people leave the flag up. And they just leave it up for the whole, you know, from spring to fall. They don't take it in at night, and it's not lit with special lighting. It's in the dark. That's a violation of the flag code. So learn your codes of your special icons that must be respected.
Is the flag code like law? Or is it, it's just etiquette?
It's etiquette that's strongly recommended. Like any, you know, university or military or people where they have a, you know, do things with the flag, honors it and obeys it. And it usually comes printed on a little piece of paper when you buy the made in China flags that they have at Walmart or whatever now.
That's weird. A lot of the packaging for flags, I've noticed, call them banners and not flags. And I always thought that was a sort of like loophole in the etiquette of flags.
Oh, maybe it's a loophole in, yeah. Oh, you know what I'll bet it is? I'll bet there are states. I think I've heard of this. I think there are a few states in America where it's illegal to sell flags, American flags that aren't made in America. That's probably how they get around that.
What a weird law.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, if it's a banner, who cares? I mean, that's what laws were made for, right? Is to root around.
Yeah. Yeah. To give attorneys work coming up with the correct wording to be able to break the law and get away with it.
The right loophole.
What is it Nima said or somebody said? Loopholes are the portholes through which liberty passes.
I've heard that before. I don't know who said it.
I'll say Nima, unless we hear otherwise. So the ISIS flag challenge. Yeah.
I mean, good for them. And you know what? They're asking for it. And by them, I mean good for the people burning the flag. And by them, I mean ISIS is asking for it. If you're going to go around claiming a symbol as your own, even though it belongs to millions and billions of people, and then you're going to do nasty things, people are going to associate that symbol with you and desecrate it. I mean, that's... This is the symbol dictionary of human psychology, right? So
yeah, hasn't ISIS, have they changed their name 3 times in a month, or has the press changed their name 3 times in a month?
I don't know. I don't know who names them,
because they were ISIS and then they were ISIL and now they're just IS.
I like IS.
I like, it's funny. It sounds like the hippie-fied version of it or something, but they probably aren't using the.
No, I like. Because it's not geographically bound. It's just the Islamic State. And, you know, that's nice and simple. If you're in favor of a state, you're probably either you're either already a state or you're a terrorist organization trying to become a state, which is how states come into being. So,
yeah, you know, it's I've heard complaints from the likes of Glenn Beck. And, you know, ISIL or ISIS or IS or whatever is not a good thing. And who wants a state anyway? And especially one that's, you know, blatantly violent and making a show of it to try to keep up with the real states or the main states.
But that's every state. That's every state.
I don't know. Most states would be remiss to put beheadings on video. But then there's questions as to whether or not that is authentic or was created. And that guy's,
I think it's fake. Have you seen these videos? I think they're fake.
I don't want to see them.
You
okay.
They're not as awful as you think they are.
Okay. Then maybe I'll see them. And you know, I'm not saying like, I don't really have a pony in the fight of whether they're real or not. I know that different governments would fake those things or different organizations would fake those things. I don't really have a whole lot of desire to like do the math and look at the blurry pictures with red arrows to determine if a particular thing a government does is a false flag. Now I'll spend 8 out of 10 episodes in a row talking about things like that if it's somebody in our community, in the Liberty community, but I don't sure. really care about, you know, I mean, there's whole shows and networks devoted to like, is this a false flag? Is that a false flag? It's like, I don't care.
You know, saying they're fake doesn't mean I know who faked them or why. It just means like looking at them, it seems sort of objective that they're fake.
Yeah. It looks like does it look like first year film student, you know, thesis video or horror movie?
Or worse, what it really looks like is the old head in the salad bowl trick for a Halloween haunted house.
You said that. I don't know that trick. What is that?
So that's you build a table and you put the person under the table. You cut a hole in the table and you put a salad bowl on it. The person's head is in the salad bowl and their body is hidden under the table under a tablecloth. And so when they take the lid off the salad bowl, it looks like there's a head in the salad bowl.
And it's looking at them and going,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it essentially looks like they buried someone up to their neck in the desert and then put a mannequin over them. That's what it looks like.
Okay. So what I've heard Glenn Beck and others complain about in the past, and Rush Limbaugh, is they're infuriated at the fact that a lot of Islamic Middle Easterners care more about their religious faith as part of their identity than they do about their nation, and that some of them are to even many of them, you know, their nation would be below their faith, their family, their tribe, their town, you know, and like a couple other things, what kind of goats they tend, and then maybe
Glenn country. Beck, I'm sorry I don't worship the God that you worship.
I think that's a good thing, actually. I think anything that you like that's, you know, above the state.
I've had experience with this. Well, I'll tell you when we get back. But yeah, absolutely, it's a good thing.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org. When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
It's Michael Dean, Free Fiend Radio, Talk Radio. That's us. So Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, was telling me the other day how impressed he is with Davi's radio chops. And I totally wholeheartedly concur. And he went as far as to say that he thought that maybe Davi was the new Nima. And what did you say?
I said, no way. I'm a Nima Vidotti cover band.
Well, you certainly do things that Nima never would have done that make the show a lot easier to do. I'm not complaining about him. He had his life and he decided his priorities. No,
he's still alive.
He's still alive. He's dead to me. No, he's not. But you know, like he never had time because he was just busy, you know, working and being a husband and then being a dad. Although you work and you're a husband, and you have cats. So that's kind of the same.
A cat.
yeah. So Nima never really did a lot of what you did tonight, which really blew me away. You and I sent about 20 emails back and forth of show note ideas, and you actually sent me something that was like you synopsed them all into one email. You sent me an email like, here are our show notes of it, so I didn't have to go through 20 emails. That's pretty cool of you, man.
Yeah, that's what I do. It makes it easier for me to follow along too.
Yes, you're making yourself indispensable, which is, I don't think it's an agenda. I think it's just something you did. That's pretty cool.
It's my conspiracy.
So tell me your story about religion.
Oh, so there's this question that's popular, and it's, are you American first or Muslim first? And I get asked this question like years ago by this woman who really thought she'd gotten me, like, you know, she asked me this gotcha question. And I just said, you know, I don't really understand what that question means. Why don't you answer me? Are you American first or are you Christian first? I knew she was Christian because she was wearing a pendant. And she like recoiled in horror. Like she'd never even conceived that somebody would answer this question, and she couldn't like stutter out either answer. And it's like, well, that's the problem with it, isn't it? It's like, it's, there are these core parts of a person's identity, and there's nothing wrong with a lack of patriotism. So, and fundamentally, like, whatever your beliefs are, they should absolutely be more dear to you than the plot of land you were born on. You know what I mean? Because that's a coincidence.
And it was kind of weird too, because it sounded like she thought it was perfectly acceptable to ask you this, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party type under fire question of what's more important, your nationality or your faith? And she was shocked when you asked her the same question. Like, that's only something they get to ask you bearded people or something.
You know, I mean, that's the nature of the thing, though, you know, like, no, it's hypocrisy runs deep. People can't see it in themselves.
There's a name for that kind of question when it's taken further. I forget what it's called. There's a whole Wikipedia page on it. It's questions like, you know, during World War II, sometimes Nazis that spoke English really well and could fake an accent would put on an American uniform and try to infiltrate Americans to get, you know, as spies. And there were questions they'd ask them. And if you couldn't answer the question correctly, like a real American would, they'd shoot you.
Oh, and, yeah. It was like something about Mickey Mantle.
Yeah. It was something about baseball. And it was like, I would have gotten shot, you know, if I were an American soldier.
Yeah, I would have gotten shot.
Yeah. I don't know. And then there's sometimes like pronunciations of things, like people from another country that have trouble with, they don't use a certain phonetic combination, can't pronounce things. And there's one that the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, used in Northern Ireland of to see if someone was really a Catholic. I don't know if this happened often, but it was like, you know, during the first troubles or before that, during the first war that
The Spanish,
but it was, they would demand that you on the spot say the Hail Mary all the way through. And if you couldn't, you were a Protestant and they'd shoot you.
Okay. I know during the Spanish Inquisition, they used to go around with plates full of pork and they'd go door to door and make people eat pork, because if you wouldn't eat it, that meant you were a Muslim secretly, because it was illegal to be Muslim at the time. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, all these litmus tests are kind of silly.
And then, like, because, and then there's the thing where to see if you're a real fiend, when we're alone, when we say worms to each other, there's something secret we say back that only we know.
The secret internet handshake.
Yeah, and those who know it are those who's I can't even say it. Whose names are on the golden floppy disk of redemption. I'm just having too much fun with this stuff, man. Yeah, I started calling someone a cult leader last week, and somebody tried to call me a cult leader, and I just am having there are a lot of indications of things that could make the fiend sound like a cult, but they're all jokes and are obviously a joke. So
we're a leaderless cult.
Yeah,
we're
a distributed cult.
The world's first distributed cult.
Yeah, man.
Worms.
We'll be back. Freedom Fiends. I'll mute the mic and then we can say our thing to each other.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
We talk about libertarian values and theorems and actions a lot on the show, but right now we're just going to talk about knives and whether or not they can cut off heads, because Davi's a knife expert and has skinned things, not humans, and knows about knives and what they can do. What do you say about that?
The closest thing to what I can say as far as credibility is that I have hand slaughtered a goat. And so I can say pretty definitively that the knife that this guy is holding in these beheading videos is not the right knife for the job, and he could not behead a person with that knife. It's just not physically possible. And so, I'm calling fake. I'm calling these are not real.
Send me the video.
All right, I'll have to find it, but sure.
Ugh. Okay. In the meantime, I want to talk about something else weird, which is the Bitcoin. You know, people have always said, who is this Satoshi Nakamoto who invented this? Supposedly somebody has hacked his old emails and says he knows who it is and wants money to. He's trying to blackmail Satoshi. What's he?
All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence he's telling the truth?
Yeah. There's absolute evidence that he's hacked an old email account from like back when Bitcoin was starting out, because he's posted on Pastebin, posted the contents of some emails that nobody but Satoshi would have access to. And he says that from other things in that account, he knows who Satoshi is, but he's blackmailing him for 25 Bitcoin, which is about $12,000. It's kind of low for a guy who, Satoshi has about a million Bitcoin, it's estimated. And a lot of them.
It would be like, I have incriminating photos of Ben Bernanke and I want $1,000.
I want a new motor scooter. Yeah. Yeah. Or it kind of reminds me of in Austin Powers, Dr. Evil. We're going to blow up the world if we don't get $1 million. And isn't that like he's been in cryostasis or something since the 60s and thinks $1 million is still an inordinate amount of money?
Yeah, he didn't account for inflation while he was cryogenically frozen.
Yeah. And the other thought to me, too, is like somebody hacked Roger Ver, the Bitcoin Jesus, who has guy, you know, he has many millions of dollars in Bitcoin.
He's doing all right.
He's doing all right. But he, you know, Satoshi could probably hire him to clean his house, put it that way. And somebody hacked Roger Ver, and how did he respond?
He put a bounty on the guy's head for personal information.
Was it 25 Bitcoin?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was that high.
It wasn't even that high. And the guy got so freaked out that he undid whatever he was going to do and said, please don't hire an assassin to kill me. Because he thought, well, if he's trying to get information on me and paying that much, he's going to go pay a lot more and get an assassin to kill me. You know, this mythical Bitcoin assassin that the government likes to talk about when talking about why anonymous cryptocurrencies are a bad idea. But it seems pretty foolhardy to try to if you're a blackmailer type, which seems foolhardy to begin with, it seems foolhardy to try to blackmail a guy who has about $500 million in Bitcoin at his disposal. Like, that amount of money could hire Blackwater to go after you. You know, it could hire like 1,000 trained soldiers and cyber sleuthers to find you and take you out. So you'd just be a vapor and they'd never find you.
Yeah. It seems foolish to me, but we'll see how it goes. It'd be interesting if he actually did end up outing him, or if there was some sort of like new details revealed about Satoshi Nakamoto and what he's about. For example, he gets a lot of spam email.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
He orders Viagra.
Right.
With Bitcoin. Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is whoever Satoshi Nakamoto is, I'm willing to bet he has more than one email account and that there is not a lot of personal information in the one that he was using to post on his like super encrypted community board.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's it's not the same one he was getting his Netflix bills on, you know,
mm-hmm.
at home. Yep. So there's another weird what was the other thing? Bitcoin related. We'll go ahead and talk about it. I know Free Talk Live talked about it, but what's the thing with PayPal, man?
Well, they had this creepy video that's like a commercial where it's like maybe 30 people all saying the same pitch and then it like blinks between their faces. Sort of like the It Doesn't Matter If You're Black or White video by Michael Jackson, only really fast. It's it's like a strobe light.
To the point of being hypnotic and like creepy and hard to watch.
And like even disorienting.
Yeah. What they do is they line up the eyes.
Yeah. So the eyes stay in the same place, but everything else moves, including the facial expressions, which is weird.
Yeah.
But in the video, they say, send Bitcoin at the touch of a button. And it's like, wait, what? PayPal is advertising?
That's not a function. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have that.
I'm unaware of this function.
First of all, they don't have it. And second of all, why would anyone want to do that? That was my first comment. And I checked some comments on the YouTube video, and that seemed to be the final thing. You know, it was basically like, take your encrypted, taxless, practically unable to be traced, really cool money that only takes, 10 minutes tops to get to the other person and attach it to this thing that has like a tiny, tiny, tiny transaction fee. And use it through this system that has, 14% fees sometimes and is, you have to fill out an IRS form and it can take 3 days to get it to your bank account. It's like, what's the point?
Well, for me, it's like, remember when PayPal was this really cool online payment system that made it really easy to be a small business and send money around? And then PayPal ruined it? Well, now PayPal's ready to ruin Bitcoin.
Wait, did you say PayPal ruined PayPal?
PayPal ruined PayPal. Yeah. PayPal used to be really cool. Sort of like eBay used to be the garage sale of the internet, and now it's just sort of really difficult to use.
Didn't PayPal buy eBay or vice versa?
I'm not sure which is which. I think they just merged.
Yeah. That's the thing that has the 14%. I think when you use one through the other under certain circumstances,
But the point is they made it – they put up a bunch of hurdles and made it difficult to do business online. And – Bitcoin already has a PayPal. It's called BitPay, and it doesn't host your coins for you. It lets you keep your coins. So if PayPal is going to host your coins for you, I mean, that's just Mt. Gox all over again. We've learned that this doesn't work, right? Because it means that the moment that some like intern at PayPal loses some briefcase, that everybody's finances are going to be open to the internet.
Yeah, yeah. It's do you know that, I don't know, like 15 years ago or something, Microsoft forgot to pay the domain registration, like the $25 per year through when it was one company that did it, like Network Associates or whatever. They forgot to pay the domain fee, the $25 fee on Hotmail or one of their like big things that has millions of users. And they were like, for 2 days, like people were freaking out about it. Like, I can't check my blah, blah, blah. And finally, like some good Samaritan just paid it and then it instantly worked again.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's definitely what I want out of my banking software.
It pays your bills for you. Or
that it just disappears because some intern corporate idiot forgot to pay a bill on time.
Yeah. So is this beheading the thing that starts with Obama?
Yeah, the beheading is sort of at the end, I guess. It's the guy in the orange suit. It looks like
this looks fake. just him standing here, the guy in orange and the guy in black and the backdrop. I mean, this looks like it should be Ben Stiller in the black and the guy from Fight Club in the orange. What's the guy's name? The big, movie star. Who's the movie star in Fight Club? The main
Meatloaf?
No.
Edward Norton.
The other one.
Brad Pitt.
It looks like, this is Brad Pitt and like somebody else on a soundstage in Burbank to me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It looks green screened.
It does. So this is the first of two videos. The second video is exactly the same, shot for shot. It's the guy in orange reads a statement. The guy in black reads a statement. They're in the same place in the desert. It's the same knife that makes it impossible. And they do the same thing where they're sawing on his neck, and for some reason there's no blood. And then they fade to black, and then there's a pan of a still shot of a head on a torso. And
I think that knife is the bayonet from an AK-47, because I have an AK with a bayonet and it looks like the same knife. And that does seem like the knife that would be most easily available to militants in the Middle East. They'd have thousands of them. But
the other one is, I think in the second video, the guy's hands aren't even restrained, which is weird.
Is it the same guy in the second one?
No, the guy at the end of the first one is the guy they cut off the head in the second one. And then at the end of the second one, he holds up a third guy.
Okay, this says, is this ridiculous. The next guy. They fade to black.
Yeah, exactly. And
this is, wait, he's blinking at the end where he's dead. I swear he's blinking. After they show the body.
He's smirking.
He blinks.
Right?
He blinks, man. Watch it again. Watch at like 4:29 when they're holding up. What is this at the end? Because it looks like he's. Okay, looks like they're cutting it off. Then there's the fake head on the mannequin, and then it fades to black again, and then it looks like it's out of time. I guess he is still alive in the end, but like,
so here's the thing that this is why this makes absolutely no sense to me. These are supposed to be the most like bloodthirsty murderers in the world.
And they fade to black for the money shot.
And they fade to black. They're like
you know, Hollywood would, because they want to have a PG rating and be able to let the kids over 13 in or whatever.
Exactly. Now, man. I've seen videos of actual beheadings, like in Saudi Arabia, where they behead people for certain quote unquote crimes.
Because when you live there, they used to have an hour of that on TV at night.
What? No, that's not
kidding.
True. But or maybe they did. I don't know. We didn't watch Arabic television when we lived there.
You have to pay to not have that. Unbasic cable.
You have to get a special dispensation to turn off the television.
Yes, it's the telescreen. Okay, sorry, go on.
So my point is that the whole point of this video is to be shocking and terrorizing to the West, to show they're bloodthirsty, whatever. And they're being discreet. They're like, oh, we don't want to offend your delicate sensibilities by showing you the blood in our video that's only about blood, right?
So, who's the guy being allegedly beheaded? Is he a...
He's a journalist, although people I've read all sorts of conspiracy stuff about him being a double agent or a Mossad agent or all sorts of weird stuff. I couldn't say for sure
what country he's supposed to be from.
The U.S., huh. Allegedly.
Huh.
Yeah.
He's probably sitting in a, you know, safe house in Kabul, like watching cable TV and drinking whiskey and having his feet rubbed.
Maybe.
Right now. I don't know.
I have no idea. Hmm. But yeah, I'm calling fake. I don't think these are real. And that doesn't mean I'm saying the U.S. faked them. I'm not saying the ISIS faked them. I'm just saying like whoever made these videos faked them for some reason.
So should we call this episode The Truth About the Recent Beheading?
Yes, we should. Absolutely. This is the undiluted, pure truth about,
well,
you know.
Well, it's at least opinion and we could call it truth. That seems
to work.
The
truth about opinion.
And we'll have that when we get back. We're going to go all Molyneux all the time for the rest of the show. You knew we were going to do it. You knew it. That's why you tuned out. Okay.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And, you know, I wanted to be done with this Molyneux thing. I really did. And then I started getting death threats, and then people started saying horrible, horrible things about my late daughter. And, you know, they made me just not want to stop. And here's why. Because if I stopped, then those people would think that their chilling effect attempts won. So I'm not going to stop, man. I'm just going to keep going. And I really don't care if it drives away every listener we have. Because I built this and I will tear it down brick by brick if that's what it takes to get the truth out about this guy. Because I'm really just blown away by how many people saw a few videos of him a few years ago, don't get all of the complaints, and are like, why are you complaining? There's more important things to fight about, including Molyneux saying that today in a video, passive-aggressively, you know, without mentioning anyone who's criticizing him. Saying it. And of course, you know, I don't want to debate him. People are like, why don't you debate him? I'm like, I debated him before.
Well, he practically quoted you. He just didn't mention you.
What did he say?
Well, just mentioning tithing and the idea that there are more important things and you're picking on little old me. And it's like, well, dude, if you're claiming to be God of philosophy, then maybe it's a little important to like hold your feet to the fire and make sure you're consistent.
So let me play the first 45 seconds of his new video today. His beheading. He looks like he's in a beheading video. He's how would you describe him as different from the way he looks in most of his videos in this?
Well, he's just aging.
He's aged like 5 years in the past week. He looks really tired and he looks really kind of disheveled and kind of worried and like he hasn't slept a lot. And he has like a food stain on his shirt. Like not slovenly, but I've watched a lot of videos by this guy and I've never ever seen him, you know, have a food stain on his shirt. But here, let me just play this 45 seconds. Now, notice he uses the word tithing, which is it only Christian or is it other religions too?
Well, I mean, we have a kind of form of tithing in Islam, but it's not 10%. And so we don't call it tithing.
Yeah, tithing literally means 10%. Yeah.
Means a tenth.
And it's from the Old or New Testament.
I'm not sure, but I know Christians do it.
Yeah. It's the idea. Some hardcore Christian churches, pay 10%, or people in the churches pay 10% of their earnings, gross or net. That's a whole other argument, like which way is Mecca.
Yeah.
But
the other thing is, in Islam, it's not to a church or a mosque or whatever. You can give it to charity directly, and it's from your superfluous wealth, not from your income.
Yeah. Molyneux has a lot of superfluous wealth. We checked what is his Bitcoin? Because you can, if you have someone's Bitcoin address, you can go to blockchain.info, enter it, and see how much money has ever been received to it and how much is in there. What is it?
I don't have it open at the moment, but it was something like 326 Bitcoin was the current balance, and something like 500 and something was the total received over the course of the history of the wallet.
So right now he's got over $150,000 worth of Bitcoin.
It would seem that way.
Yeah. And he's, you know, belittling people for not giving giving $2. And here is his latest today where he uses the word tithing at me passive aggressively. I also want to mention that I've gotten 56 views in the past 2 weeks from two IP addresses in his weird little town. He's watching me. He and Mike DeMarco are watching me. I got to go check the email I got from him and from Mike DeMarco and look at the headers and check the IP address and make sure it's actually him. But I've never seen a hit. It's a weird town with a weird name. It's not huge in Canada. I'm not going to say the name of it, even though you can Google it and find it out. I don't think you Google it, but I've seen it online before. I'm not going to do anything that resembles dropping docs other than saying his PayPal balance, which is very public. Bitcoin. Yeah. PayPal. Sorry. Ugh. I used the fiat for the non-fiat. All right. So here's his, first 45 seconds of looking really, really tired and kind of worried and having food stains on his shirt. Here you go. Up. You got to do it when you come back. Well, that gives you reason to stick around for hour two. You can hear Stefan Molyneux being passive aggressive against me and other critics. And, you know, I don't want to see this guy crash and burn. People have been saying that. I don't want to see him crash and burn. I want to see him thrive and be happy somewhere else, not contaminating the Liberty Pool with, you know, horrible ideas. And it's not a competition. I'm not trying to steal his audience. I just got a point. You know, there's other big libertarians, Jeffrey Tucker. I never go after those guys. I never go after Lou Rockwell hard. You know, they're big. I'm not trying to knock down the big monkey and take his banana. I just want him to go get his bananas somewhere else where he's not having so many issues with being credible as a human and as a philosopher and as a libertarian and as a fundraiser and as a person giving advice to troubled people over the phone.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends, Hour 2. Michael Dean and Davi Barker, present. Are you present, Davi?
Present, here.
Present, here.
Bueller.
Bueller, yeah. Happy 186th Leo Tolstoy's birthday there, Davi.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did we make him a cake?
No, he's a Christian anarchist, though. I think he was actually an influence on Hubert Selby Jr. Well, one of the people I interviewed who knew him well said something about that in the movie that I made of him. But, yeah, I wanted to read a little thing I wrote about this new ad that we have. Maybe I'll just play this ad because, you know, I don't know if it got inserted in time today. But I made an ad that is kind of feisty. Let me just go ahead and play it, and then we'll talk about it. All right, here we go. It's an ad about voting, and it's going to play on this show on 26 stations all through November. And that's another thing. Like, people are saying, like, you're trying to make money off this Molyneux thing. No, net, like, you know, a few people have dumped me because I've been talking about him a lot. Like, oh, he's great. How could you do that? You know, stop donating, and a few people have started donating for because of it, and somebody sent me a screenshot of them canceling their subscription to him and him writing back and saying, sorry to see you go. Can I ask the reason? And they said, because the Freedom Fiends told me to. Worms.
Hey, I didn't get that email.
When you canceled him?
Yeah. Why didn't I get a courtesy email?
Maybe he's more concerned now. Oh, yeah. That's that, too. Okay, here's the ad that we're starting, the Cat Muff ad.
My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun making that with DJ.
I would vote for CATMUF.
I would vote CATMUF. Yeah, I just think that's going to have people. I mean, because it's actually probably going to play before or after a real political ad at some point. Because a lot of stations, a lot of talk radio is big for candidate ads, especially for local and state elections where people don't have as much money as they do in national. There's a lot of political ads going to be coming up. And that's going to play right after someone telling you how they're going to restore the Republic and get back to the Constitution. And then our ad's going to come on, and the person kind of half listening while they're driving to work or whatever is going to be like, what did she just say? What? Huh? And there's no web address. There's no Freedom Fiends. There's no, you know, it's a public service. I'm taking ad time I could sell and using it for fun, which is really, really one of the great things about having this. I posted this today. I said, having a syndicated radio show, a whole lot of work and not much money. Being able to make an absurd parody ad making fun of the system and have it playing 7 days a week on 26 commercial stations the next day without writing a check, priceless.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I made one for you too. I made one for your shiny causes. I'm calling it the shiny causes. It's causes.shinybadges.com. And which is a place where you can buy cool stuff and donate to Liberty Mind. I'm doing a live read. I just said I'd never do that.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
I'm not paying you for this
live read. This is time. You're not paying me. This is time I could be bashing Stefan Molyneux. Why am I helping charity here? I guess it's my tithing. All right, so let's play the Molyneux tithing video where he took a little like sideways at Michael Dean. It's pretty funny, I think. All right, here we go. Wait, oh, it's all the way at the end. No, that's the beheading video. Hang on. YouTube, stop it, YouTube. Stop being drunk. I gotta shut the window. It's getting windy here in Wyoming. It's
a tornado.
It's Molyneux's weather control machine. Okay, here we go.
URL.com/donate if you would like to help out. We were having a bit of a dip from last month.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't use copyright against people who criticize you when you say you hate copyright. All right.
I don't want to state the obvious, but what that is a market signal.
Yeah. All right, let's start it over.
FDRURL.com/donate if you would like to help out. We were having a bit of a dip from last month, so if you'd like to help shore up the finances of the world's greatest philosophy conversation, we would massively, massively appreciate it. FDRURL.com/donate. We're not asking for a tithe. We're not asking for 10% of your income. 50 cents a show, really, I don't think is a massive amount to ask for. And I hope that you will see your way clear to helping us out. You know it's the right thing to do. You know you need to do it. You know we need it. And so I hope that you will go to FDRURL.com/donate and help a brother out if you can. All right, Mike, who have we got?
Yeah.
You know it's the right thing to do.
You know, that part really, yeah, that's like, no, I don't. That's typical advertising salesmanship. Here's what I want for Stefan Molyneux. For all the people who think that I have some agenda against him because I got an argument with him and he bashed kinky sex to me and I like kinky sex. Anybody who thinks that that is the motivation here, it's not, man. I'm not trying to make money at radio. And really what's really come out of this whole thing for me is during the whole week or so, or 10 days that I've been talking about Molyneux on and off and mostly on, I have made a conscious decision to try to maintain my amateur status doing radio, which is kind of like a vow of poverty. It doesn't mean if somebody gives me a bunch of money, I won't appreciate it and won't do good works with it and put it towards my, you know, the world's smallest philosophy conversation here, the Freedom Fiends. But it means I'm not going to actively make any decisions that are to try to get more listeners or more market share. You know, like Free Talk Live, I love them, but they study charts and they study the radio industry and they study, you know, like they put Chris Cantwell on because they thought it would make their show more controversial and bring in more listeners and more people to Liberty and more, you know, more advertising dollars or whatever. I think that's great. I'm a capitalist. I love capitalism, but I have a day job. I have other things I do for a living. I'm going to try to keep this show pure. Like somebody working for ad money couldn't have done a week of exposés about Stefan Molyneux. Their advertisers would be like, this is crazy. No way, man. And I also want to be able to do things like take 60 seconds of ad time and put it to an ad with no name on it, no URL, no product or service, just making fun of the government. That's fun, man. So I make about $200 a month. I clear about $200 a month after expenses doing this show. And it's pretty close to a full-time job. In addition to my other day job, which is tech writing, tech editing, copywriting for people doing, what else do I do? I do so many little things. I get like little mailbox monies that add up to a living, royalties from previous books and films, you know, stuff like that. And Davi, what do you do for a living?
I'd say most of my income comes from graphic design, but also a significant portion of it comes from merchandising at shinybadges.com. And then, you know, I've also written some books. I wrote Voluntary Islam and Authoritarian Sociopathy and Survivor Max. And so I get sort of royalties trickling in from those.
Yeah.
But yeah, I work from home. I'm a self-employed entrepreneurial agorist. So yeah,
me too.
You know, which is kind of an oath of poverty.
Yeah.
But, you know, it helps me sleep at night.
Yeah, me too. So
I used to do?
What?
No joke. My previous job was sitting in a retrofitted jail cell. Literally, the company I worked for purchased an old police station, and my cubicle was in an old jail cell. And I used to do awards and appreciations for the local police department.
Wow.
So, like, their little plaques, their little crystal whatever thing for being the cop that, you know, whatever, shot the most traffic tickets or something.
Shot the most traffic offenders. Yeah. That's why – okay, that explains why you were so psyched when I told you about that news story about the graphic artists who were prisoners in a New Hampshire or Vermont jail who were supposed to design the decal that had flowers and sheep and stuff. And they put, what did they put in it? Like
they put a little pig. They put a pig in the cow design.
Yeah. I mean, I like that story, but you really like that story.
I used to do stuff like that. I used to, if you wanted me to like engrave a picture of your police officer on a piece of crystal or something, I put a little anarchy emblem on his badge or I did something like that because it's just the only way to stay sane and sleep at night. And, you know, at some point I realized this is not the job for me. Yep. And so now I'm self-employed and I get to make fun of police officers full time.
Yeah. So I want to read this thing that this guy, I won't say his name because he didn't write back and say, you know, I'm not going to read this because I asked this guy if I could read this on the show and he didn't get back to me in time. So I'm not going to read it. But if you go to the Michael Fien Facebook page, my page, there's a post that's public by a guy named Stuart. I'm not going to say his last name about Molyneux. And it really kind of nails it. It basically, the summation of it is he says it so well, but I don't want to read it without his permission. You know, it's something to the effect of like Molyneux thing is making passive aggressive comments in his new latest videos about how he thinks that everyone who's criticizing him thinks he's the devil and they just hate him. Like there's no black and white. You either love him and worship him or you hate him. And that's not really the truth. It's like we have, you know, accurate critiques of him and when people say it's not a cult, the people that are defending him by making death threats to me and saying horrible, hideous things about my daughter who died of cancer that are untrue, that, you know, she's not around to defend, but they're untrue. People doing that kind of stuff anonymously, they are really making a case for cult-like following. That is like what cult kind of people do. It's also what governments do. Here's what I want Stefan Molyneux to do.
Government's a cult?
Yeah, I think he'd be perfect for this. I think he should become a politician. He's already thrown his ethics out the window by, you know, going after real critique, having his guy lie about it and say it was, you know, another guy that was doing something else.
He said in a video recently, sometimes he wishes the Bilderberg group would call him.
Yeah, I think he should become a politician. I think he'd be perfect for it. He'd make more money. He wouldn't have to beg. And all of his skills that he's honed doing this show would make him an excellent, excellent, excellent politician. And I think he can make a lot of money. I don't want him to go away. I don't want him harmed. I want him to be a politician.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right. It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. So we're talking about Stefan Molyneux. I'm going to explain who that is because I forget sometimes. We are on a bunch of radio stations and
He's the Socrates of our age.
He says he thinks he is. Those people on radio probably don't know. They're probably like, I heard this interesting show the other night, but I don't know. I think they were having a beef about some coworker of theirs named Stefan Molyneux. I don't know what it was. Like, you know, no, this is not a coworker of ours. You've met him. I've interviewed him over the internet. You've met him and he ignored you because you said you weren't big enough fish for him to bother with, something like that.
Something to that effect. I mean, I've seen him a couple of times at different events, and he ignored me at first, and then after a while, once he saw me with other people who he was sort of interested in, maybe I had a conversation with him at breakfast in Austin, Texas for a Bitcoin conference. But whatever, you know.
He's a libertarian what's the word? Celebritarian was what they call it.
Celebritarian, you know, yeah.
Famous libertarians, and he's...
The Oracle of Canada declared him the wisest man in liberty.
The Oracle of Canada?
That's Socrates, the Oracle of Delphi.
Oh, he's the Oracle of... Yeah, he declared himself. So my beef with this guy is a couple things. One is he makes ridiculous statements like that, you know, calls himself a philosopher. A lot of people look to him for advice. And then a lot of people outside liberty believe that he is what liberty is. Like, oh, that's what libertarians are. I want to dispel that myth and let people know not all of us feel this way, and a lot of people don't like this guy. There are websites dedicated to that this guy's they say he's a fraud, they say he's a cult leader, they say he's horrible, they say he preys on people, they say he berates people into donations, all sorts of things. So I'm not the only one who thinks this. There are cottage industries devoted to this, and I'm not making money at this. I'm probably breaking even or losing money bashing him. We're losing a few fans and gaining a few fans. So that's who Stefan Molyneux is, and he does a radio show, podcast, does videos, does a call-in show where he gives what sounds like therapeutic advice, but it kind of reminds me of the show Frasier, which I've been watching a lot lately, which is a licensed therapist. Molyneux's not licensed, but, you know, six and a half, one and a half, the other.
Well, Frasier's a fictional character.
Frasier's a fictional, but he's more real to me than Molyneux probably because I've been watching him, because I enjoy watching him. And Frasier, you know, they're both kind of, the joke with Frasier is he's a therapist who does a radio call-in show where he gives advice. And he gives really bad advice. He gives really bad what?
And he's kind of mentally ill.
Yeah, that's the joke. He has a lot. He needs a shrink himself, if anybody does. And he gives really bad advice on the radio. And I kind of think that's what Molyneux is. I think he gives really bad advice to people. That was one of the other things the Stewart guy's essay said, or short essay, was that, you know, Molyneux had a really – he was kind of trying to, like, be sympathetic with him. And this made sense. Molyneux had a really bad childhood, mother who beat him. Father, I don't know, wasn't there something bad with his father. Didn't have a good.
His father lived in South Africa was a gold miner, and he didn't have any relationship with him until he was an adult.
So this guy has reason to feel all parents are bad, but not all parents are bad. But
did I say South America? I meant South Africa.
But he says all parents are bad, and he doesn't say that in public. In public, he says, if your parents are abusive, you should leave them. But when you get further into his organization, when he's having the private conversations with people, we interviewed two of him last week, he says all parents are bad. And there's
it's an axiom. It's an axiom. He essentially says parents did not even have the option of being good parents until he solved the problem of secular ethics.
Okay, that's a good explanation.
He's got this book on secular ethics.
Of who he is.
Before he proved this, people didn't even have the option. The same way you didn't have an option to be a good doctor before the invention of penicillin.
Yeah. Yeah, and anesthesia. Yep. So, yeah, he basically says all parents are bad, and he tells children and young adults to leave their family and never speak to them again, or say, you know, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going away. I'll talk to you when I want to. It'll be years maybe. And this guy Stewart said that, like, basically he means well. That's good advice if in your head if you think all parents are bad. But it could be like suicidal advice to a kid who's like having a lot of problems, needs support of someone that loves him. And he calls in this show and Molyneux says, leave your parents. And the kid does. And like the parents might be the only thing helping him, you know? So I think a lot of it's really bad advice, but we're not really going to talk about Molyneux today. We're going to talk about Molyneux's, the Igor to the Molyneux, which is Mike DeMarco. Now there've been these videos by this guy named Damon who made these originally made horrible videos about Free Domain Radio, that's Molyneux's, I won't say cult, his organization, like outing members of them and playing like tapes of them, you know, confessing their inner. It's basically like the guy was basically finding a tape that's, you know, like if your shrink had you tell your innermost secrets, then some other guy named Damon found them and put them on the internet. That's kind of what was going on.
Except they were already on the internet.
Except they're already on the internet, but hard to find. But this guy put him on and used scary music and used a voice synthesizer to read his text. And so Molyneux apparently got that taken down, but also took down a critique site called True Shibes and conflated the reasons. It was like, don't look at this hand, look at that hand, to try to make it look legit. We'll be back with more.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Day 8 of Molyneux Chat. It's Michael Dean with Davy Barker. And today
it's
we're
Molyneux-thon.
Molyneux-thon, yeah. Today we're looking into his henchman, his right-hand man, Mike DeMarco. Now, I think if Molyneux were smart, well, he is smart, but if he was wise, like he claims to be, I think he would throw Mike DeMarco under the bus and pull a Ron Paul and say, oh, DeMarco was the one who did those takedowns. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't condone that. I don't believe in intellectual property. And, and kind of go like respond to the market and go back to talking about economics and, you know, anarcho-capitalist libertarian ideas. Like he did the first couple years he was making videos and they were solid. I mean, he did a video called, what is it, The Something of Your Enslavement? Remember that one?
The Story of Your Enslavement?
That's the one, yeah. And, you know, if people say, like, God, you don't sound very well prepared, this guy has, like, thousands of things out there, and there's thousands of things written about him. You know, so when I have a fact like, yeah, his Bitcoin wallet currently contains, you know, over 150,000 or around 150,000. You know, there are people who'd say, yeah, it's not good journalism. You, with a staff of zero who has a day job, don't have that exact figure in front of you. It's around 150,000, and he's berating people to give him money and saying, I need more money. My donations are down. And they're down because he's being inferior. The market is responding because it ain't good. But and because he's doing weird stuff like, you know, saying that women are the problem, the source of all the problems in the world, just ridiculous stuff like that. And being kind of racist in his, you know, assessment of the Ferguson stuff and, you know, just other
things.
You thought
that was racist? I just thought it was statist.
Well, it was very, very statist. But some people thought it was kind of racist when he was trying to rap and imitate the guy's
rap. He was trying to rap. I missed that part.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about Mike DeMarco, who came on as Stefan's right-hand man, I don't know, a few years ago. I first had dealings with him about this spring, but we found his reading list, and we're going to do something that Molyneux does all the time, which is psychoanalyze people we haven't met based on a little bit of information. So I found this thing you know, I was kind of looking for like, who is Damon? Who's making these videos? Because everyone wants to know. And, you know, there's some people that want to do a beheading if they can find him. I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious. That's out there. That kind of thought. There's a lot of people looking for who is this Damon who made these videos? Because the videos originally that were taken down were just criticizing Free Domain Radio members. And then he came back up with other channels that have since been taken down again, but they'll pop up again because it's like whack-a-mole. Like Joe Rogan said back in the 90s, taking stuff off the internet's like taking pee out of a pool. And, you know, you just have to live with that. But there's a theory out there that this Damon, who is now making videos criticizing people who are critical of Molyneux and making up lies about them and their families and calling their families on the phone and stalking them. I'm sorry to laugh. It's harmful to people it's happened to, but it's like so stalker, culty, crazy behavior that like, how can you say, you know, it's not doing anything to disprove the allegations that this thing's a cult. So, there's a theory out there. I forget where it's from. Again, you know, there's so much information I don't have in front of me. I've been trying to prep for this show for a couple hours tonight and it's just boggling. And you said Molyneux likes that. What did he say one time about proving he said something or didn't say? You heard him say this.
Well, he joked about it in his early videos that go back and prove it, right?
Yeah.
But really early on, someone asked if he was willing to, because he uses Dragon voice-to-speech software, if he would publish the transcripts of the videos because it would be handy if people could word search them. And he joked that he never wanted to do that because then people could hold him accountable.
Well, he does a lot of like saying what he really means, but laughing like he's joking while saying it, which is something I find really disingenuous and creepy. And we could do a whole other segment on how I think neuro-linguistic programming is what he's doing and certain hypnosis techniques. He certainly does adapt his tone and technique heavily like an actor with different types of callers. Like some of them he's stern with, some of them he's really sweet with, the next one he'll be really inquisitive and curious with, and it really looks like he's matching what he thinks will get into that person and get his hooks into them the most.
Well, he also oscillates back and forth with the same caller to disorient them. In this most recent video, in the beginning, he's like, don't tell me about your feelings. We're talking about philosophy. And then right in the middle, he's like, tell me about your feelings. And yeah. He's like, I thought we were having an intellectual discussion. He's like, when did I ever say that? Yeah. And then at the end, he goes back to your feelings don't matter. This is about facts.
And that's right? A technique that's used by the U.S. military to break people down in basic training. It's a technique that's used by, you know, insurgents in the Middle East who are torturing somebody. It's used by the CIA when they're torturing people, I think, or the other people. It's basic kind of like mind control techniques. But we're here to talk about, I almost said Damon, about Mike DeMarco. Well, there is a theory on some of those websites. I forget if it's FDR Liberated or the other one. One of the big, long-running anti-Molyneux sites. There's a thread right now on the forum. I think it's closed to the general public, but it was open, and I think now they've hauled it off. Like, you can find evidence of it on Google, but maybe not find the thing. But it's basically a discussion of who is Damon who's making these videos. And before the first takedown, before the new channel came up criticizing critics of Molyneux, there was a theory put forth that Damon is in actuality Mike DeMarco. And then after, you know, a bunch of other stuff came out, like really critical, like tormenting these other people. They were really going hard in the paint with that theory. I don't know if I believe that theory. And
there's something weird going on with Damon. It's very strange because he's like, he picked a side. He's anti-Molyneux, and then he goes attacking all of the other people who are criticizing Molyneux. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, let's go look at Mike DeMarco's reading list. It doesn't prove anything. It just gives you an insight into the right-hand man of who's running this empire, this world empire that's pretty big and has a lot of influence on a lot of people. But Molyneux's constantly saying, it's not big enough. It's not having enough of an effect. I need more money. And he has $150,000 in one Bitcoin wallet. He may have other Bitcoin wallets, and he certainly takes money via, you know, other things like PayPal, and people send donations by mail. Who knows, man, but he doesn't look broke to me. I have like a couple $100 in my bank account and less than that in my Bitcoin. And I'm not hammering for donations all the time because I'm maintaining my amateur status. All right. So Mike DeMarco's reading list. Go ahead.
So this is from goodreads.com, which I guess is just a website.
It's an online book club where people compare notes and books they like.
Yeah.
And
recommend. So this is like his recommended reading list.
Yeah.
So number one, all marketers are liars, which is an interesting claim. It's a book on marketing that sort of says that it's like how to essentially create a convincing lie since you have no choice but to lie.
Yeah.
This is the argument. Tribes, we need you to lead us.
This is creepy too. Yeah, it's like the first two, these are the most damning creepy ones to me. I mean, a lot of them are just about running online websites, you know, and the online website ones just basically convince me that this whole thing is a marketing for-profit thing. I have nothing wrong with that. I have nothing wrong with capitalism, but I really think it kind of taints your purity of being able to do what's important rather than what'll reach the most people. Like, for instance, the Truth About series was kind of where a lot of people really started to think he was going off the rails, because first of all, he was doing these long-winded videos called The Truth About, and then the fill in the blank, and the blank would be whatever's in the news that week, Ferguson or the NSA or, you know, what the some.
You know what else I noticed, and I didn't pick up on this because I listened to the podcast, but if you go to the YouTube channel, the still frames that end up the like cover of the video before you click on it are all like not all, but like easily 30% of them are like these like cleavage laden bikini babes.
Really?
And I'm like, whoa. What is the point of that?
Oh, well, you know what it is? Here, I'm kind of surprised this book isn't in there. There's a book that I co-wrote called for O'Reilly Media, which is the big nerd publishing company, called YouTube, An Insider's Guide to Climbing the Charts. And I basically was the credited paid ghostwriter. My name's on the cover with Alan Lustufka. Alan Lustufka wrote the book, and he's a guy who makes a living at YouTube and did early on, and he's kind of a viral video guy. And that's one of the techniques in there. He describes that technique and says, don't use it. But I'm wondering
what do you mean?
The technique of picking an unrelated image frame. So, you know, the philosophy discussion that's, you know, being called fact and is really just opinion will show up not with a picture of a balding middle-aged guy with a food stain on his shirt who looks like he needs some sleep in the thumbnail. You'll get a picture of boobs in the thumbnail.
Yeah. Okay. It just strikes me as sort of a non sequitur most of the time, although he is talking about women very often.
It's a really, so well, put it this way. Is that image anywhere in the video other than a single frame somewhere? Is it a clip?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. Then that is bait and switch, fraudulent methodology. He's going to the lowest common denominator. I didn't know that. That's interesting. All right. So the next book on Mike DeMarco's recommended reading list, Tribes, We Need You to Lead Us. Read the synopsis of this book.
I don't have the link for it.
Okay. You? A tribe is any group of people, large or small, who are connected to another or a leader and an idea. For millions of years, humans have been seeking out tribes, be they religious, ethnic, economic, political, or even musical, like the Deadheads. It's our nature. Now the internet has eliminated the barriers to geography, cost, and time. So I'm anti-tribalist. I don't like tribalism, and there's a lot of tribalism in the Molyneux camp, you know, the people who will bash you and threaten your life and, you know, say horrible things about, start rumors about your daughter who died of cancer to defend any critique, however valid or not, of their leader. That's tribalism. And tribalism is what drives governments. It's what drives beheadings. It's what drives all sorts of horrible things in the world. It's basically people trying to act like the state. Mike DeMarco read a book on how to start and guide and lead and maneuver tribes. That's creepy, man.
I'm a little more sympathetic to it. I could see it being valuable. I could see there being something about wanting to understand the anthropological, you know, tribal brain or whatever.
I mean, you know, keep your enemies close, friends close and your enemies closer. I could see that too. But, you know, put together, you know, this could just be blurry pictures with red arrows on them, this whole segment right here. But I think people should go look at this. The next one is called Lynchpin, Are You Indispensable? Which is kind of a guide.
You call this the guide to worming your way into an organization.
Yeah, it is. It's a book for people who are in the job market trying to get into an organization and become indispensable. So
is this why you called me a linchpin at the top of the show? Are you accusing me of something?
No, I thought I was making a joke because I thought you'd seen that. Because you did above and beyond the work in the show prep. You'll probably never do it again now because you'll think I have conspiracy theories about it. Free Prize Inside, The Next Big Marketing Idea is the next book.
That's just marketing.
That's just marketing, The Next Big Idea. Yeah.
I mean, he's a business manager. He should be studying marketing.
We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty Project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund. Or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Freedom Fiends. Redemption in the third act. Finished up on Molyneux here. And you know, Kitty got a hairball. Yeah, I was going to stop talking about this guy, but you know, when I'm getting death threats, I have to keep going, because if I stop after getting a death threat, the terrorists win. You know, the people.
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah. So as long as I keep. No, I'm not going to say if I keep getting death threats, I'll keep talking about him. I want to be done with him. I want to be done with him after tonight. I really think I'm going to be. I've said that before, but things just keep coming up. So we're talking about Mike DeMarco's reading list. That's Stefan's right-hand man who seems to be making decisions like he has power of attorney or something. Like, you know, what he does stands. So,
well, he kind of does. I mean, a business manager does have decision-making authority over
business. I'm not saying that's sinister. I'm saying, you know, that makes it kind of hard to ever point and say, oh, he did those things without me, like Ron Paul newsletter style. Although the Ron Paul newsletter thing had, like, you know, 20 writers and an editor and other people, and Ron Paul didn't have as much day-to-day input in it as Molyneux does in Free Domain Radio. So what's the next
one? Ron Paul was literally off doing other things and not in the office when that happened.
So Unleashing the Idea Virus. Stop marketing at people. Turn your ideas into epidemics by helping your customers do the marketing for you. I would say he's definitely doing that. I get horizontal enforcement from Molyneux fans who think I'm a big meanie and don't want to listen to any real actual, you know, I wouldn't say proof, but I'd say evidence that he's not on the up and up. They won't even look at that. They just dismiss you. That is customers not only doing the marketing for you, but also doing the bashing for you. I got a really interesting contact tonight. So I went through my Facebook. You know, on Facebook, you can message people and it doesn't go into their main folder and you have to go find it and check it kind of.
It's messages from people who aren't your friends. I just recently learned that this exists. Me too. And it turns out I have hundreds of messages there.
Me too. I learned it a few weeks ago and then didn't check it again since then. I checked it today and I went through it and I started like looking at people, what they said, and adding them as friends. And this young lady immediately wrote me back and she said, I'm so glad you added me. I love your show. Haven't listened in a really long time. Love it when you do interviews. Have you ever thought of interviewing Stefan Molyneux? And I immediately thought, like, okay, this is somebody messing with me. But I don't think it was. And I chatted with her a little bit and said, well, I did interview him 2 years ago. I'll send you that. But I think first you should listen to this interview I did with some people about him last week, and sent her the thing about Colleen and Greg. And she wrote back, like, she sounded crestfallen. She's like, are you a Molyneux hater? Do you hate Molyneux? And I said, no, I like truth. I don't hate the guy. I want to see him do well. I want to see him become a politician. That's what he's meant to be.
I want to see him recover for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like I look at him like you'd look at a sick friend. Like if you had a friend who became a drug addict or an alcoholic, you know, you wouldn't say, and they did something stupid that they wouldn't have done otherwise when they're drunk, you wouldn't excuse it. But you don't want to throw your friend or someone you look up to or friend or someone that used to be interesting to you. You don't want to throw them under the bus. You want to try to get him help. And I really do believe I'm not trying to help him, but I believe he needs help. It would be crass for me to say I'm trying to help him. You know, I'm not going to pretend that because he wouldn't listen to my help anyway. But I hope he looks in the mirror. I don't even like that term. I hope he responds to the market. You know,
we're trying to mitigate the damage. That's what I think we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, he said today donations are down and it looked like he didn't even think like, because I'm doing crazy stuff that people don't like, you know?
Right.
So what else books we got here? This is a really interesting book. There's a book called that Mike DeMarco likes called A Manual for Creating Atheists. And I know that
Absurd. Atheists aren't created, they evolve.
Yeah. But, you know, it would really look like, you know, it could look like evidence, I think, because Molyneux likes to seem to have people surround their life around them. Like people, I've heard people, like this woman said to me tonight, Molyneux's been really helpful in my life. I don't want to look at this interview. Like, she didn't even want to look at the evidence. And you know, you got to get the family out of the way and get God out of the way before you can put yourself front and center in people's life. So A Manual for Creating Atheists could help you with that. It worked for the communists. I am going to link this in the show notes, and we will be back tomorrow night with Chandler and I. And then again, the night after tomorrow night with Davi.
I'll be back in 46 hours.
Yes. And we're not going to talk about Molyneux.
Allegedly.
I'll try not to. I really will. There's so many other things to talk about.
Worms. Okay. Thank you for your service, Michael.
Thank you for your service, Davi Barker. It's been a fun night.